If you keep wondering why your arms aren't changing no matter how many times you start over, this episode will flip the entire conversation in your head. We're digging into the real reason you stay stuck and the mindset shift that finally sets you free. You're listening to the Arm Coach Podcast with me, Christine Rucker, arm coach and founder of the Arms by Christine program. Here, we talk about toned and sculpted arms and what it really takes to get sustainable results so you can feel proud and confident in sleeveless clothes. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Arm Coach Podcast, episode 95. Happy New Year. We've got a fresh 365 days sitting right in front of us, and I need you to picture them like the world's cleanest training log. Every single day is a brand new opportunity to do something bold, something strong, something that shifts the way you see yourself and the way you show up in your body. So here's my question. Are you fired up to see what this year can look like for your arms, your strength, and your confidence? Are you excited to see what you can create? Or are you staring in the mirror, picking apart everything you think needs fixing? There's a huge difference between creating and fixing. One opens you up, the other keeps you stuck. The way I can almost always tell where someone is in their journey is by asking this simple thing. Do you have a clear vision for who you want to become this year? Do you know the version of you you're walking towards? Or are you spinning in thoughts like, I don't know, I'm confused, I don't know what I want, I don't know why I can't stay consistent, I don't know why my arms never look the way I want? And I get it, I do. So many of you have told me this recently because of the inquiries coming in for Arms by Christine. I ask every single woman, what are you in pursuit of? And do you know what I see over and over again? I don't know. Not only that, but it comes with so much frustration and shame for not knowing. If this is where you are right now, I feel you. Honestly, for years, every new year was a giant checklist of what I needed to fix, right? Fix my body, fix my habits, fix my schedule, fix my discipline. I didn't even realize how much time I spent swimming in confusion. And that confusion didn't just feel uncomfortable. It made me feel inadequate. Like, how can I not know how I want to feel in my body? How can I be this unclear about my goals? I was talking to someone recently who rattled off all the things she wanted to change, right? Her weight, her arms, her routine, her confidence, her follow through. And I asked her, if I gave you a whole sheet of paper, do you think you could fill it up with everything you need fixing? She said, yes, without hesitation. And I remember being exactly there, holding a laundry list of what I thought was wrong with me, carrying around this catalog of flaws instead of a vision for who I could become. I remember sitting at my kitchen table writing these lists full of everything I thought was wrong with me. I don't even know what I believed would happen next, right? Maybe if I wrote it all down and stared at my own shame long enough, I'd magically wake up motivated, right? Maybe the embarrassment would kick me into gear. Well, spoiler alert, it didn't, right? Those lists just stirred up more negative emotion. What did I know to do with negative emotion? I did everything I could to cover it, right? Hide from it, run from it, definitely not face it head on. And, you know, honestly, if someone back then had looked at me and said, Christine, instead of cataloging every flaw you think you have, why don't you write a list of what is already strong about you? What is already working? What is already complete? I would have stared at them with that blankest face, then stared at the paper and thought, I have no clue how to do that. But here's the part I want you to take in. That can change. If you feel like You could list 1,000 things you want to fix about your body or your habits or your follow through, but you cannot list one thing you appreciate about yourself that can change. And once it starts changing, everything else follows. And here's the real kicker. Feeling confused about what you want for your body and your life is actually harder than wanting something and not getting it. Because when you want toned arms and strength and confidence and you're not there yet, at least you have a direction to work toward. You have a goal, right? You can try new things, you can adjust, you can experiment. But when your brain is stuck on, I don't know, and I'm confused, and I can't figure myself out, you lose all sense of direction. I lived in that place for years, and I can tell you it is miserable. My future felt like a giant question mark. I wasn't dreaming about who I could become. I wasn't imagining what I could create. I wasn't even excited. I was terrified. I didn't like where I was, but I also didn't know where I wanted to go. If you had asked me back then, Christine, what is your vision for your life? I would have spun out instantly. I don't know. I should know. Why don't I know? Everybody else seems to know. What's wrong with me? That was my loop, and it kept me stuck in the same place for so long. Since we're standing here at the beginning of a new year, I want to dig into something really important. I want to talk about why dreaming feels so hard, why creating a vision for your body and your life can feel impossible, and why old habits that disconnect you from yourself make it even harder to dream big. A couple of weeks ago, inside my email list, I shared something I call a powerful question. If you've been with me for a while, you know I love powerful questions. I talk about them in depth in episode 76 of the podcast. They're like mental dumbbells. They force your brain to pick up a new weight and build new strength. So every week, I send one powerful question to my subscribers so they can start training their mind to think differently. If you're not on that list yet, you should hop in. I send out the exact little mindset pieces I use to keep myself grounded, consistent, and strong in my own routine. Anyway, in that email, I shared a question that always shakes people awake. And here it is. If success were guaranteed, what would you go after this year? I want you to actually pause and sit with that. If I handed you a guarantee that you could not fail, what would you pursue with your arms, your consistency, your confidence, your body, your life? What kind of strength would you build? How would you spend your time? Who would you become? And if you aren't pursuing that thing right now, why not? The reason is fear, straight up. If success were locked in and you still aren't doing it, it's because the fear of failing is louder than the desire to try. Now, here's the twist. I have talked about this before and I'm going to keep talking about it because it matters. Failure does not create a feeling, not by itself. Everyone tries so hard to avoid it. I don't want to fail. I can't stand failing. I never want to be in a position where I might mess up. But failure itself doesn't feel like anything. It is simply a result. It is not an identity. It is not a character flaw. It is not proof you are behind or broken. Failure only hurts when you decide it means something terrible about you. When you turn a neutral outcome into a weapon against yourself, you are afraid of failure. You are afraid of the story you think failure will confirm about you. And that is the part we get to change. For the longest time, I made every setback means something was wrong with me. If I skipped a workout, if I didn't stay consistent, if my arms didn't change fast enough, I turned it into a personal indictment. I told myself I was broken. I'd never figure it out. I never did anything right. I would never get the results I wanted. I was such a screw up. That was the story I attached to every failure. And of course, when you attach meaning like that, failure is terrifying. But notice the truth here. It wasn't the failure that made me feel ashamed, embarrassed, hopeless, or humiliated. It was the meaning I strapped onto it. I want you to let that sink in. You are not afraid of going after what you want because you're afraid of failing. You are afraid of how you imagine you'll feel if you fail. And right now, your brain thinks that feeling this is unavoidable because you've never looked closely at the story you attach to failure. You've just assumed failure produces the feeling. Failure doesn't create any feeling. Your thoughts about failure do. This is why so many women don't go after toned arms, strong habits, or a consistent routine. Their brain is busy anticipating the shame, anticipating the disappointment, anticipating the, I knew I'd screw this up. So they avoid the goal altogether in an effort to avoid the feeling. And here's where this ties directly into your old buffering patterns. Think about the things you've done in the past to cover up negative emotion. Some women turn to food. Some shut down. Some hide. Some overwork. Some disappear from their goals whenever discomfort shows up. It's the same cycle. I'm overwhelmed, so I skip my workout. I'm tired, so I'll just start tomorrow. I feel behind, so what's the point? I feel insecure, so why even try? We avoid negative emotion by avoiding the thing that might bring it up. And for everyone who thinks, that's not me, I'm not avoiding anything, I'm just being realistic, I want you to pause. If you are in a room of women lifting, building strength, showing up for themselves, and you weren't doing any of it, what would you feel? Would you feel left out, restricted, judged, behind, not as disciplined, like you were missing something everyone else had figured out? If those feelings come up, then your avoidance makes perfect sense. You're not avoiding the goal. You're avoiding the negative emotion you think the goal might expose. The habit of quitting on yourself, the habit of hiding from consistency, the habit of buffering with old patterns, they're all rooted in trying to get away from discomfort from an uncomfortable emotion. It all comes down to one core habit, a habit of avoiding discomfort. That's it. Your brain decides a negative emotion is a problem and then tries to cover it as quickly as possible. Some people use food, some numb out with scrolling, some disappear from their goals, some throw themselves into busy work. Whatever it is, it works for a moment, right? But long term, it makes you less capable of handling discomfort on your own and more dependent on the quick fix. Now, think about why you aren't going after what you want with your body, why you aren't chasing toned arms, consistency, or confidence. It's the same pattern. You're anticipating a negative emotion. If you fail, you'll feel bad. If you fall off routine, you'll feel disappointed. If you try again, you might feel vulnerable. So your brain says, let's skip all of that. It's the same route as any buffering habit. Your brain thinks, if I try and fail, I'll feel terrible. And if I don't buffer, I'll feel deprived. And if I feel stressed or bored or lonely or overwhelmed, I don't want to sit with that. I want to get away from it. Do you see the connection? Avoiding your goals and avoiding your feelings come from the same place, avoiding a negative emotion. But there's a second layer, okay? Buffering disconnects you from your dreams because it trains your brain to chase immediate gratification, the I want it, so I must have it reflex. So many women tell me the same story. If I want something and I don't give it to myself, it feels unbearable. If I crave something and I don't answer it, I feel terrible. If I have an urge and I don't act on it, I get so uncomfortable. And listen, that was my story too. I hated wanting something and not instantly getting it. Not because the urge was actually unbearable, but because I had trained my brain to believe urges needed to be answered immediately. If I wanted rest, I took it. If I wanted food, I ate it. If I wanted comfort, I sought it. If I wanted to skip my workout, I skipped it. Over time, that story turned normal human discomfort into a full-blown crisis. Like something was wrong with me if I didn't respond instantly. And that is the loop so many of you are caught in. So here's what happens. You start conditioning your brain to chase the quickest hit of comfort it can find. Immediate gratification, immediate relief, a tiny dopamine sprinkle, anything that feels good. And instead of building real well-being through habits, strength, consistency, and the identity you actually want, your brain gets hooked on the fastest escape route. Because buffering is all about consuming, not creating. It gives you a false sense of relief or pleasure, but it never actually builds confidence, strength, or trust. It is pretending you feel better instead of actually feeling better. Buffering is easy. It takes almost no energy. Meanwhile, showing up for yourself, doing your reps, sticking with the habit, and holding a long-term vision requires intention. If your brain has not been trained to do that yet, of course, it will choose the easier path. Your brain will always prioritize the low effort pleasure unless you learn how to manage your mind, unless you learn how to talk back to that inner toddler that wants what it wants right now and will absolutely throw a fit if it does not get it. I talk about this in episode 7 when we dive into urges. That lower part of your brain only cares about 3 things: get pleasure, avoid pain, do it as fast and as efficiently as possible. It doesn't care about next week. It doesn't care about your arms. It doesn't care about your goals or your future or your confidence. It is a toddler in Target begging for candy. Your higher brain is the adult in the room. You have a more evolved part of your mind that can manage urges, hit pause, and make decisions based on who you want to become, not what you want to escape in the moment. Your prefrontal cortex is the part of you that builds toned arms, builds trust, consistency, and results. It is the part that can say, I hear you. I know you want comfort, but we are choosing something better. When your brain is locked into the immediate moment, only focused on avoiding discomfort, only focused on I want relief now, it cannot think about the future. It cannot think about the woman you are becoming. It cannot think about next week or next month or the sleeves you want to wear with confidence. That is how buffering disconnects you from your goals. It keeps you in the right now. It keeps you in the urge, right? The comfort, the fear of not getting what you want in the moment. And because your brain has a story that unmet urges are unbearable, the urgency feels real. But it is not unbearable. Discomfort is just part of being human. And here is the really empowering part. you get to choose which discomfort you want. There is the discomfort of not answering an urge in the moment, that tiny restlessness, that little wave of energy, that itch that passes if you let it. And there is the discomfort of the consequences that come from always giving in, the disappointment, the inconsistency, the feeling of starting over, the why can't I get it together loop. And remember, buffering doesn't just show up with overeating. It shows up with drinking, overspending, and losing yourself in screens. Anything that gives you a quick burst of comfort but costs you long-term well-being. You can choose the initial discomfort of saying no to an urge because you care about your long-term strength, confidence, and self-trust. Or you can choose the opposite. You can keep chasing immediate comfort and end up creating more discomfort for yourself in the long run. When you keep turning to something outside of you to feel better, the consequences always stack up. Your consistency suffers. Your belief in yourself dilutes. Your long-term vision gets blurry, and eventually you lose connection to the version of yourself you want to become, right? Your dreams stop feeling reachable. Sometimes they stop feeling real. And even if you can still picture them, they go unrealized because your brain is so focused on avoiding discomfort in that moment that it never gets the spaciousness to imagine your future at all. So it comes down to a simple choice. If discomfort is part of being human, which discomfort are you choosing? The small, short-lived discomfort of not answering an urge, the tiny wave of restlessness that passes, the moment of telling your brain we're doing something different, or the long-term discomfort that comes from telling yourself you can't handle urges, you can't tolerate saying no, you can't deal with feeling deprived. So you give in and later feel disappointed, inconsistent, and stuck. This is what happens for so many women. They choose the immediate, temporary comfort that creates long-term frustration. All their energy goes toward trying to feel better right now. How do I stop feeling stressed? How do I stop feeling awkward? How do I stop feeling behind? That survival mode mindset leaves no room for dreaming, growth, or identity shifts. When your energy is spent smoothing over every uncomfortable feeling in the moment, you can't dream big. You stay small because your brain is focused on comfort, not creation. And that is exactly where I stayed for years. I spent more than a decade stuck in cycles that kept me focused on short-term relief instead of long-term identity, thinking about when I could buffer next, thinking about how to avoid feeling bad, thinking about how to escape myself instead of build myself. And that used up all my mental energy. It took so much space in my brain that, of course, I didn't know what my future looked like. I couldn't dream. I couldn't plan. I couldn't imagine who I wanted to become because my mind was busy chasing the next hit of comfort and then dealing with the consequences afterward. This is what happens when your brain is stuck reacting to urges instead of directing your life. And this is the reason so many of you say, I don't know what I want. I don't know my purpose. I don't know what would fulfill me. It's not because you don't have dreams. It's because you're afraid of how failure might feel. You're afraid that failing would be proof of something terrible about you. Which it isn't, never has been, never will be. And when you've spent years buffering from emotion instead of learning how to feel it, of course it's harder to dream. You've taught your brain over and over that you can't handle discomfort, that immediate gratification is the priority, that you should avoid negative emotion at all costs. But that's simply a habit your brain learned. And habits are rewritable. So as you stand at the start of a new year with a blank training log and a wide open future, I want you to ask yourself a real question. Are you thinking about what you can create? Are you excited about who you're becoming, how strong you could get, how consistent you could feel? Or are you tangled in confusion, convinced that everything needs fixing before you can move forward? If you're stuck in that place, look at the two pieces that are keeping you there. One, you're afraid of failing because you believe failure creates negative emotion. It never does. Your thoughts do. And two, you've built habits that prioritize short-term comfort over long-term confidence. And even though those habits might quiet discomfort for a moment, the underlying feeling doesn't disappear. It waits, it lingers, and you never get the chance to build your capacity to feel and move through it. You stay less capable, not more. So I want you to think about this today. If success were guaranteed, what would you go after this year? What vision would you claim? What version of yourself would you start building? And if you aren't pursuing that thing yet, why not? All right, my friend, that's it for this week, and I'll talk to you soon. Hey, before you go, if this episode or any of the other episodes on this podcast have helped you in any way, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Your review will help us find and have maximum impact on as many women as possible. While you're there, hit the subscribe button so we can continue on this journey to Sculpted Arms together. Thank you so much for your support. I've loved having you here today, and talk soon in the next episode.